Hello. Sorry. That's sorry, my cough there. Do you know what that is that's coming up?
What?
I bought a barbecue covered peanuts earlier on from Sainsbury's.
Barbecue covered
peanuts. Fucking class.
That, well, I mean, I'm sure they are class, but I know peanuts not really like, it's not like healthy or anything, but to me it's, you know, just like curry flavored apples.
Peanuts can be. Peanuts can be really healthy for you.
I know that the penis. Nah, they said.
No, by penis. Penis is massively healthy for you.
My stress
my
remover?
My doctor always said five. I was very much strictly a five a day man when it comes to cock.
No, you did your fucking special, by the way. Happy with that?
I did, right. And we moved on from the peanut chat.
I didn't mean to put a line immediately.
I had nothing else. I had nothing else to say, apart from Sainsbury's barbecue beef. They're not even barbecue beef, just barbecue. They're not like covered in barbecue sauce. I hope you understand.
Oh right, no, that's exactly what I thought.
Yeah,
what, like
they're peanuts that are. Yeah, but it's like a crust. It's like a coating over it.
Right.
So it's like it's like in a shell. So it's a barbecue shell that houses the peanut, and you have to crunch through the barbecue shell. No, they're not greasy in the slightest. They're very dry, actually. Hence why the coughing. If they were greasy, it would just be slipping up and down my throat. But it was the dryness that caused that immature cough at the start of the episode.
Okay, right. So you're saying his penis is slipping up and down your throat if it would have been greasy.
Yes. I much prefer a dry penis to a greasy penis. It's why I never have sex with Italian men.
Aye, that's the only reason. What kind of Italian man? Wait, how fucking far would he fall in life that he'd have to pump you?
Mario would.
Why? Because he thinks you're fucking Wario?
Bowser.
Bowser. Shit.
Wario's his brother, you tit.
Bowser was who I was fucking thinking. Obviously, it's not Wario, you fucking arsehole cunt.
You should have gone Donkey Kong. That would have been.
Yeah. Okay.
He's fucked up this joke on so many levels because why would they have sex with his enemy, whereas having sex with his gorilla friend makes more sense. But you went for his evil twin, Wario, so...
Okay, what is he, Paul
foolish, Martin? foolish joke. But yes, I did record my special on Monday evening, which was... It was lovely. And it was... do you know what's weird, right? It was a Monday night. It was free tickets, right? Sold out. And there was still two guys heckling like fuck. And there was a guy in the front row that basically admitted he'd tanned two bags of coke that afternoon. And you're going, it's a fucking Monday, my man. And I started to realise these are just the people I attract. It's just like...
Just you.
This tour, I've never realised how many hecklers I actually attract. It's
you definitely do. You definitely get. If I think of just even random hecklers that I've seen live, you'd be up there. I mean, you're not.
Yeah.
You're not, there's like John Hastings, which is, and then, but you're still definitely.
Yeah, that is. Aye, and I don't know why, I don't know whether it was the stand thing that coaxed him out, but I don't think that helped in any way, encouraging people to heckle me online, but...
Right.
I think, do you know what I think it is? I think once you have shown an aptitude for it, then assume that you enjoy it all the time.
Yeah.
And do you know what I do?
It is
quite fun. I mean, like... There's stuff like that was done with a heckler the other night that can never ever be used, obviously. But some of it was horrific, but also even for the continuity of it all and the way it would look, like, but it does relax an audience. Like fuck. Properly relaxes them when you just, and it was well early on as well. Like
great.
Really fucking early on they went right into it. So I, although I did do it right, and I didn't even realise I'd been doing it, because at the start of the tour show, I basically tell them the two best heckles I've ever had. And normally, I frame it in a way where I go, listen, if you're really intent on heckling, these are the level you need to get to. And then normally, sane people go, right, I can't attain those levels, so I'm just not going to bother.
Yeah.
Whereas in Elgin last Friday night, I said it differently, and I basically said to them, look, if you want a heckle, fucking go for it, right? And Jesus Christ, they went for it. My God.
Do you know, that's usually a thing that they actually don't do, even if you put it to them. You know, like, yeah. They were like, ooh. Oh. It was very funny that they all just
they
immediately...
were all for it.
Finally.
I got an apology the next day from a heckler.
Okay.
He sent me a direct message, just saying, look, it was the first night I've had out in 8 months without the kids. I was out of order. And then I went back and went, do you know what? It's honestly, it's no bother at all. And then she went, oh no, I've just seen on your status that I ruined it for someone else. I feel even worse now. So I'm like...
Great.
But I know, it was absolutely fine.
Yeah.
No bother at all.
Yeah. I got something very funny that I saw like literally about an hour ago, and it's to do mm-hmm. with the old Sydney.
Did you look in the mirror?
yeah, you fucking dirty bastard. No, it's about Sydney Sweeney's tits, right? So. So this is actually basically coming in from a group argument where I said that Zendaya was better looking than Sydney Sweeney, and it caused all sorts of hassle. Which I am right about. Well, but we'll get to that, right? But there's a
we'll discuss that.
There's a Canadian TV, and this is like a running theme. I've seen loads of tweets about it, obviously, but now mainstream news things have started picking up on it. And like a Canadian TV station recently put up like a headline on their on the screen, basically saying, "Is Sydney Sweeney's breasts the death of wokeness?" Right, because
I've seen a couple of these arguments.
She's had her tits out, basically, just because she's wearing cleavage in Saturday Night Lives, right? Which is really, really funny, because I was just like, in your head, you're thinking, how good do your tits have to be if it just makes people lose all morals and principles they used to have?
That's a good point, actually. Yeah.
Imagine if you're sitting there going, I think trannies should be allowed to use the, oh my God, look at those fucking cans.
But I can't remember such a cultural discussion, because it's not like she was the first woman ever to appear on mainstream television.
I don't know what's happening.
With a cleavage. So... But it seems to have like captured the world.
I think she's played it. She's played into it.
It captured my heart. Definitely captured my heart. I have to say
she did play into it a little bit, because the last day, what I think one of the jokes, what she no, it wasn't on SNL, but she said that like basically that people just think I'm a big titted blonde, and he was like, it's not true. I'm naturally brunette. Was the joke. And I was like,
oh, love it.
Yeah, so everyone, all these people.
I had never, ever heard of her until Saturday Night Live. I've never seen Euphoria.
Okay.
I've never seen any of her films. I didn't know that. I had seen the meme picture of her staring at that dude on Hot Ones.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't know that's who she was.
Okay, right.
So... Saturday Night Live was the first encounter I've had with Sydney Sweeney.
Okay.
And since then, I now run a fan network.
It'd be so old-fashioned, because in my head, I immediately thought Facebook group.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't be a Sydney
I went even older. No, not even Facebook group. I run one of those old fan networks where you need to... write in.
Oh, God.
And then I'll send you a newsletter every quarter. Every 3 months you get a newsletter.
Oh, fucking hell. Madame Dark Web.
Subscription based.
Oh, fucking hell. Very funny.
Um, Did you watch? Have you seen that episode? Did you see? Did you watch Shane Gillis's?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was very good. Yeah.
I thought he was really good. I thought the monologue was really good. I thought the sketch, the two sketches that I really enjoyed were the one where he has the Trump trainers.
I don't think I've seen.
Was fucking hilarious.
I don't think I've seen that.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, I've seen
one
or two.
And then the one where, have you seen the one where he goes to the, it's like an insurance salesman and he goes with the ostrich.
No, I haven't seen that either. No.
Oh my god, it's so funny, man.
Gillian Keith, like I've only seen the one where he's on the plane and the plane's going down.
Oh no, these are two episodes. These are two sketches he did on Saturday Night Live last week.
Oh no, shit.
These are two of these sketches. Honest to God, the one where they go to sell insurance. And his partner's an ostrich. It's either an ostrich or an emu. It is, honest to God. It is unbelievably funny.
Oh, great. I must watch it.
So, yeah.
Must watch that. If people are listening, not only is Shane Gillis's, I still think the best special I've seen in a long time, or last year, anyway, is Nick Mullins, Year of the Dragon. It's on YouTube for free.
I've not seen that, actually.
Oh, sweet fucking Christ. I love it so much. It's so fucking funny.
I've seen that.
It's so funny. Nick Mullins. Year of the Dragon. Mm. Watch that, definitely, if anybody's saying.
How are the gigs in Australia?
Well, they've been great, but Tuesday was an all-time funny fuck-up. Like, Luke's usually emceeing. He couldn't do there. You know what I'm like emceeing, right?
Yeah.
The problem is I tried to... they've been good. I had one bad Friday that they just all unanimously were just like, nope, that's too dark. And then... they've all been quite good. I've been told that they can be quite touchy out here, but they actually have been fine. And then Tuesday, I had AMC, and Mark Simmons was just like, Mark was like, Ryan, just go out there, forget about the MC, because it's only an hour show, just do 20 minutes, we'll just do free 20s and drop Brian, you know, forget about like the MC kind of thing. Like Luke does that just out of kindness, really, to MC the gig, right? So I was like, aye. So I did three jokes to nothing. The free opening jokes, and I went, okay, and I made it worse by going, now I better change into MC mode.
Oh God.
From joke four, I was floundering, right? And I wrote a new joke that's doing really well about a pineapple, right? And I didn't do it that time. I was fucking all over the place and I didn't do it, right? So basically Luke Benson, I didn't tell him, but Luke was late. That's why I was emceeing. So Luke came on and like his opening joke after emceeing is a joke, like a callback to my joke. I hadn't done it. So Luke walked up just like late, you know, from his other gig, came up and went on stage and he was just like, fuck me and Ryan get through some amount of pineapple. And people are just like, what? Because there's no pineapple mentioned. And you can see it in his face going like, how the hell did that not land? It's been landing every night. And I was sitting there outside going, not only have I fucked my own set. Everything I did, try to talk to a couple. You know, they did that awkward thing where they're like, are you guys a couple? And they went, no, me and... I thought she went me and him because she pointed to a guy over and I go, so who's this fucking dude in the middle? Mm-hmm. It was actually a gay couple. It was the two men. I was like, what the fuck did... Oh, and then... But everybody got so tense about it. So I tried to move on. This is the only laugh I got. I tried to move on. I go, all right, look. And so, are you guys a couple? And they were like, no, mother and son. And I was like... And I turned around and just put the mic in. The thing is, show's over. Mark's coming out. Yeah.
Oh my god.
So yeah, thankfully.
Oof. How'd Simmons do?
Great.
That's the worst.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely fine. They weren't a good crowd, but no, they definitely didn't die. Aye. It was just me.
Oh, amazing. That's class. That's absolute class. Are you doing any of that? Like, I take it, I know you're doing like Best of British every night. But,
fuck off. You started an absolute nightmare. People just keep messaging me, Union Jacks, every time I have to do any. you know, you have to do promo it here on Thursday. And every time I do it, I just get a little couple of people, absolute cut fans, sending Union Jacks, and I'm like, you're a bunch of what?
Are you doing any of the other supplementary, get like the fucking pub crawls and all that?
Not doing pub crawls now because you're like contracted and thing. But I'm doing some gigs, you know, like best of thing in the Rhino.
So you can't just go out and do all the extra.
You can, but you'd have to kind of like basically run it past the people that brought you out here, you know.
Of course they do.
They put you up and everything and flights. But do you know what I have to do? Right, I am in a not trouble, but there's an Ashes gig, and it's you know, and I didn't know this, but Dan Willis or whatever, he's like, come on over Saturday, you know. And I found out I've taken the gig, but the gig is basically like a laughometer, and you get points. And I was like,
yeah, I've done it, yeah.
And I've been drinking there. I was drinking last night with Mickey, and I was like, me and Mickey's on. I was like, Mickey, does this mean we're fucking getting points for England? And he was like, aye. Right. I was like, I need to defer.
Why the fuck are we playing for England?
Yeah, I won't. Like, I presume I'm going to have to get there and cause an arc, cause a hassle.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, no.
When I did it, because I did it during the Fringe, and I made sure I said to Willis, like, I'm on the Australian team. Like, there's absolutely not a chance of me, because I will... And if you are on the team for England, tank it.
Yeah,
like,
make
sure you get no points whatsoever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. That would be fucking excellent.
Say the most offensive shit you possibly can.
About England?
Yeah. Yes.
You know, I fucking just start going, do you know what made me come so hard? Fucking Grenfell.
Fucking
people are like, what's he doing? I couldn't stop fucking coming when that cladding went up in flames. People are... just a light at the back flashing.
Yeah. It's the only guy to score minus runs. Did you? I know we had this in the group earlier on, but the English, they were at it again today about the Euros.
Oh, fucking every time. It's remarkable. Remarkable that Elliot Steele will still back it every time. Like, well, I don't see the problem. And there we go. Yeah, how have you not? Yeah. We've done this like 9 times now. At least 10 times.
Fucking
10 years in a row. Any single competition. If you don't know what we're talking about, England kept saying that they were already talking in interviews like, how do we not win the Euros?
Yeah, they're basically saying they've already won the Euros and they can't imagine. And it was the last line. It was the line about the fact that only two of the France team would get into their starting 11.
Aye, of course,
and
of course, yeah.
That's when it just becomes, that's when it goes from being that confident of doing well to just sheer arrogance.
Yeah, two people, I'm sure.
The worrying thing is, though, 1 year it will be right, and it might be this year.
But they're all genuinely worrying. I don't think they don't have the mental chaps for it. My worry is it's a young team, so they might be too stupid to have mental to let it collapse. So like, usually it's quite a fucking thing. There's a lot of young players now, you know, a young player.
But then the young ones, like Saka was young.
Aye.
When he missed a penalty.
He's still only 21, 20.
Aye, exactly. He's even younger. Aye. So the pressure, there's a different pressure when you're younger as well.
Aye, yeah, yeah.
You don't there's all very well about not having the kind of hangover of previous campaigns.
Yeah, yeah.
But you are also young, so you're shitting yourself genuinely anyway. So
yeah, exactly. They say that they're going to win it, but they'll come up against Iceland again or something. And they have Gareth Southgate, so they're probably just going to still choose. They're probably going to choose Steve Stone in midfield.
Yeah, see, that's always the thing. That's always the saving grace.
Yeah, yeah, superstar.
Like He's playing Jade Goody up front. What is this?
He's got his favourites. He's got his favourites, Gareth.
He likes loyalty.
Yeah, the Atomic Kitten on the wings. There's only two wings, but...
He's created a third wing.
he's got someone constantly running, like, what do you call it?
Oh, my God.
Horizontally on the pitch, right across.
Oh, that's absolutely brilliant. Do you know where Atomic Kitten play best?
Where?
On a football field. Do just in the hole again. Yes,
fuck's sake. Fuck off.
Right.
Bastard.
This week's film is, I watched it again today, actually. It is the 1996 espionage bonanza.
Yeah.
Mission Impossible.
Oh, my God.
Mission Impossible.
I reckon, this is my mum's favourite film. Definitely one of them.
What a bizarre favourite film for someone to have, but I respect it a lot.
Yeah, I think it would be definitely up there.
Why does she love this so much?
Oh, she has a thing for Keanu Reeves. I noticed this over the years. Keanu Reeves. Sorry, fucking Tom Cruise. Keanu Reeves. Do you know what I was thinking? Her other favorite films, The Matrix. She loves The Matrix.
I knew your mum was thick.
That's great. Was that not Keanu that died in the elevator?
No, it's great. I totally forgot how good it actually is. And it's still, I think, what's weird about the Mission Impossibles is this is so unlike the later ones.
Aye, yeah. They needed to change it up eventually. But, they all were different.
The same frameworks. The same frameworks there. This one's just not as action packed. There's no huge mental. I can't believe Tom Cruise is doing that. Thing.
Yeah. Do
you know? In every other one, he's been like that. There's always been that massive stunt. Whereas in this one, there's big bits. But the Mission Impossible. What I love about them is they keep certain things about them. So the masks are always there.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a point. In maybe about the third one, where I started to get fucking bored of the masks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I can't remember. It's been ages since I've seen the second one, and I don't know if they use the masks that much in the second one.
I can't. But John Woo? Don't think so.
And the third one, they use it fucking tons.
Yeah.
And then they use it twice in this one. But then I came around again to loving it again, to the point where you're like, yay!
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Being a cheer, yeah.
It's such an easy get out for anything.
Oh.
Like, you can literally solve any problem by the fact that I can be anyone in the world.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what? I rewatched the other one there, the newest one again. I still think Fallout's the best one by a mile. But I love the... I do love them. I'm absolutely buzzing when they come out in the cinema. big fan. Big fan of Rebecca Ferguson. There's another fucking one you tore down.
Yeah. She's so old.
She's not old. She's like fucking younger.
67
she's younger
years
than
old.
You.
No, she's not.
Rebecca Ferguson.
She's not in her 50s, Ferguson.
Rebecca Ferguson is not in her 50s. That'd be the fucking hottest 50-year-old I've ever seen. Swedish. She's 40.
She's Swedish. Rebecca Ferguson
is
Swedish.
Yeah, she's a Swedish supermodel.
Fuck off, she's Swedish. Don't be so ridiculous. What Rebecca Ferguson?
Yeah, I think her granddad was from Scotland. And her grandparents...
Sounds like she runs a fucking video shop.
Blokebusters.
Oh, shit. That to be fair, she is Swedish.
And 40. Yeah,
but that's not a real name. That's why... Her real name is Rebecca Louisa Ferguson Sundström.
Oh, but it's a Sundström.
Aye. So, her mother is English, Rosemary Ferguson.
Oh, that's more.
And her da is a Swedish businessman.
Who is...
Her maternal... here we go. Her maternal grandmother is Northern Irish, and her maternal grandfather is Scottish.
Well, what a horrific couple.
See, that's why she's ugly. She attended Adolf Fredrik's music school.
That's not a good start.
No, it's but see, that's the thing.
Adolf's
right?
music
because
school.
The minute I saw that, I went immediately to Hitler.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's the thing about the name Adolf.
Oh, it's done.
Like, he can't. But I don't know who Adolf Frederick. I'm assuming he would have been pre-Hitler.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You couldn't be an Adolf now.
Yeah. The only thing you'd be acceptable would be called a dolphin. Yeah. Call it a dolphin. Adolf. I would call it Dolph. Don't make me.
What?
Don't fucking Don't fucking stay silent. Mission Impossible is to get a fucking 7 out of 10 joke out of this.
Take a guess at how... how old do you think she is?
She's 40.
She's 40. She's bang on 40.
Yeah, I fucking Googled when you were shouting she's at least 50.
Bang on 40, but she's married.
Ah, well, God, there goes that dream.
Yeah. Married to a man called Ludwig Hallberg.
He was like, is he bald?
Ludwig Hallberg. Oh, ex-boyfriend. They split up. Colin, they split up last year. 2023. What's his deal?
Unless it was so like, he's a comedian from Donegal.
So he... Oh, he's a businessman.
Yeah, well.
He's a very successful coach. And, oh, he's one of those coach people.
Ugh.
One of those people that got...
That's a disaster. Imagine being with one of them coaching people, waking up in the morning, trying to eat a scrambled egg and the fuck's...
But there you go. She's back in the game.
Okay. I won't spoil that, actually. It's in the new one. You reckon it? Yeah. I don't know why it's. I used to have a joke about Mission Impossible in my set, saying it's basically like, how can you call it Mission Impossible when there's been like 9 movies? Like, Mission Probable.
Yeah. Oof.
I bet. Shut the fuck up.
Did you tell that one the other night?
Government's going to disavow this fucking pod.
But the only other, apart from the masks, the only other thing they keep constant is there's always one mission. Well, there's always one part of it that is impossible.
Okay.
Because like, in this one, it's breaking into the CIA to steal the list.
Yeah.
And then there's always one thing where Cruz is explaining it to someone, and they go, "Well, there's not a fucking chance we can do that."
Yeah.
And he goes, "Well, let's just give it a go because." I've just walked you through it, so if everything goes to plan, then this should be a piece of piss.
Do you know that?
That's our first.
Is this the trip you're talking about? Like, you know, the trapeze scene, as they say. Yeah, is that what you're? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Do you know? I always thought, right?
Where he gets dangled down into the.
But you know when he nearly hits the ground, and he's trying to like, you know, swim mm-hmm. to stay off. Do you imagine? I always thought, like, I used to think about this when I was like, imagine you got a hard on. Just there and then. his helmet just clips the floor. He gets disintegrated by a laser or some shit.
It'd be absolutely awful. If you go down to the level of the PC and that guy that was the analyst had just been sitting there watching porn.
It's all child porn.
Oh, no. No, 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 no. God.
It's all child porn as well. He doesn't know. He doesn't know where to tell anyone. He goes, I can't tell anyone because then my mission's bust.
What?
That's my nephew.
Oh, God,
oh, mate. That's my nephew. Those computers were shite back then, too. You probably have that little Mac sundial. He's like, oh, my God, it's froze. Imagine the computer froze.
That's like huge. And he's downloading the knock list, starts downloading the child's porn as well. Big Rames is looking over it going, I didn't agree to this mission. What the fuck? I thought we were saving agents. I didn't know we were.
Tom Cruise touching his nose just a little bit for the side, you know? Wait a minute. He's like, wait a minute. What list were we supposed to get? I actually forget what the mission is.
The mission, it's quite, like, there's a lot of films that are like this. There's basically like a list of agents.
Aye.
There's two lists. So the agents are all undercover in Europe.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've got an alias. So one list is all their aliases.
Yeah.
But you need the other list as well to match up. So it basically means anyone, like a terrorist organization could go, right, that's fucking John the Baptist.
John. Hi, they were called the.
And he's. Yeah. And And his code name is
the Apostles.
Frank Zappa.
Frank Zappa.
So yeah, so they could, so then they could match them up and go, oh, he's stationed in Kiev. Let's go to there. Look up John the Baptist and fucking.
Yeah, I love the way his name is John the Baptist. Was his real name? You know, the aliases.
Yeah.
You sure that guy's name's in the wrong nut? That's his baptism name.
Yeah. He's got the middle name there.
John the Baptist.
Oh, God. Oh, I've got to adjust my balls here.
Oh. Yeah, well, listen. Do you know, I never knew a secret agency would have so much set design work. Like, that must be, you know, they always have, like, like in every film, it's not just the fucking thing. They always have, like...
A fake room.
Yeah, yeah, a fake room. I mean, they must be out of thousands. Most of the budget has just been on fake walls and shit, you know?
Yeah. Basically, they do it at the start of this film.
Yeah, yeah. You need to
but
be
also,
in the... You, like, you need
but
a,
also,
a
they
drama
must have
degree.
A team of... They must have a team of joiners then.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
You know what I mean? You must, because you can't, they don't have time. They're busy spying.
Surely.
So there must be a carpentry and joiner business that are getting
the
phone
call. And they're not allowed to know.
Exactly.
They probably think it's porn.
Can you build us this exact room? What do you mean? This exact hotel room in Budapest. Can you build this for tonight? That's a weird request. Can you build this exact Budapest hotel room for tonight?
Well, close enough. And he goes, no, I don't want close enough. I need to the centimeter.
Yeah, exactly.
Do any of you guys? Do any of you guys have a drama degree? Because I'm out. Fucking ridiculous.
do you know? Let me see what I've got as my. Do you know you were talking about like the with the PCs were shite. There's a lot of old technology in this because this would be what year did the internet start? Like when everyone had the internet. Because I remember the internet. I remember. Do you remember the TV show Games Master?
No, I don't think so.
Do you remember this? It was on like Channel 4 on like a Thursday night at like 6 o'clock and it was like...
Just after Fort Boyard.
Oh God, we've talked about it before, Jesus. we watched... I don't know, have we talked about Fort Boyard?
I feel like we do. I talk about it once in a while.
Because I talked to... My pal Mikey, right? Hmm. When we were over in Ireland a couple of weeks ago, he came to one of the shows in Dublin, and we were talking about Leslie Grantham.
Okay, right.
Who was
Dirty Den
in EastEnders?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, and we were talking about Fort Boyard, and we were talking about the fact that it was the reason we got onto it was because we were talking about Melinda Messenger, right?
Okay.
And how, and then she was obviously the female presenter of Fort Boyard. He was the guy that kind of owned the compound. That was the character. And then they had the wee small guy.
Aye.
The small person who was the...
The key.
He just ran about.
They just wanted to see the dude run.
Yeah. It literally just ran about like knick-knack and Man with a Golden Gun, right? But then, so I said, my thing about Leslie Grantham was, remember he got caught like wanking in a lay-by?
Yes! Yeah, yeah.
And shit like that, yeah. Right? And then there was the other video where there was like a video of him on the internet where he was like sucking his own finger or something. And it was quite creepy. And then Mikey went, and he killed a guy. And I was like, no, he didn't. And he was like, no, definitely he did. And I was like, you're mixing up with somebody else. Maybe in EastEnders he did.
Yeah.
But there's not a chance he killed a man, right? He goes to the bar. Sam like that to Sarah, who was also on the tour, who's running the tour.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like that. And she's like, no, it's not a fucking chance he's killed a guy. Because who would they have killed a guy? And then, so we Googled it. Fucking killed a guy? Right? When he was... he murdered a taxi driver in Berlin. went to jail, right? Served like 9 years in jail. And then... within like 8 months of him getting released, got the part in EastEnders.
What?
Like, what the fuck?
What the fuck are they doing?
Generally, mind-blowing.
What the fuck are EastEnders?
Absolutely mind-blowing.
They're like, ah, he's...
No idea.
Served his time.
Absolutely. Man, you'd think that kind of thing. Murdering, attempting to rob and murder a taxi driver, you'd think that'd be you done for life. But no, no.
Cancel culture.
When it comes, not when it comes... Yeah, not when it comes to soap operas. No, there's a life after death.
Is he still alive?
Jesus Christ. He'll be still alive, yeah. I don't think he's dead.
Yeah, no.
But that was mad.
That's great.
Aye, why did we go to... Why did we go to... Aye, Games Master, so... The TV show. And it was like the first time... It was when first video games were coming out. So I remember me and my brother had got Super Nintendo for our Christmas. And it was like it was a game show where people would play, like teenagers or sometimes sad adults would play against each other.
Okay.
At like, so they'd have like a Street Fighter battle, Street Fighter 2 battle,
like fucking esports. Or,
yes, exactly like
That's
esports,
great.
Right? But way wow. before. And Patrick, not Patrick Stewart, not Patrick McNee either. Fuck. The fucking guy that did the space stuff, like the guy that used to look at the stars, Patrick, he had like a weird eye and like a fucking.
Oh, sorry, no,
I don't get him anyway.
Bob Ross.
He died. he was the games master, and he was like the guy that set the challenges. And there's a Scottish guy, Dominic Diamond, who was the presenter, right? And it was all this fucking like it was class at the time.
Yeah.
And they used to have games news and have games reviews, and then they'd have these people doing these battles. And I remember very clearly there being a segment on it one week where they were talking about the World Wide Web. And it was like, fuck, you were sitting there going, what? Like, everything that anyone knows ever is all in one place. What the fuck are you talking about? This is insane.
What, like an encyclopedia?
And you're kind of going, what can I... Yeah, what kind of size of computer will this need to be?
Yeah, that's so funny now. You're like,
I think it must have been. Aye, because I remember I had access to the internet at uni, so that was 98.
Okay.
So it must have been. So 96, it must have been in its infancy.
Definitely. I remember when I was about 10 at a computer in what, like 2000, and I remember that was still. The early days of it kind of still like...
Aye.
You know.
But I love because there's early internet in this.
Okay.
And I love when they use... I love when they obviously can't use Google because they'd have to play... Like, unless Google have invested in the film, they'd have to play a fucking fortune. So the most films around about this time will always have another search engine that has never been used before.
Okay.
But it'll be called something like, they'll either go for something banal like search.com,
yeah.
or they'll go for something fucking ridiculous. But they've got it in this, and when he's trying to find the Job,
yeah.
Right? So they've got like. The alias of Job is the... And so they're kind of going, he's tried to steal the list, he's got in contact with his arms dealer, Max. He's referring to a thing called Job 314.
That's so funny.
Job 314.
Yeah, yeah.
And folk are going, what the fuck? And no one can work it out. And then Tom Cruise suddenly glimpses a Bible and he goes...
Ezekiel.
It'll be Job 314, that's what
it'll
be.
It's stunning how secret agents didn't take... It took that long.
Oh,
it'd be great if he looked at the Bible and the next scene was him praying to God going like, oh, what's the password?
Oh, amazing. What made me laugh a lot is when he's worked this out, he decides to send a message to Max the arms dealer and the email address is just max@job13 and you're like, what? What a hell of a punt you've taken there. It's like...
It could be great if that was one, but a completely random dude.
Oh, max at Job 3:14. Some fuck is the right one.
There's a couple of things in this film that are stupid. Like, right, first of all, that one, the fact that at one time he says to him, that's at 4 a.m., which means 400 hours. And I was like, surely that's the other way around. You'd be like, yeah, 400 hours, which is 4 a.m. They're basically saying, look how indoctrined these lads are. They have no idea what 4 a.m. is. I don't know. Do you know, and also another part which killed me was, do you know, it's the most uncovert thing I've ever seen. You know when they had to track a guy in a party and they'd like spray the back of his head?
Yeah.
He'd just turn around and be like, what the fuck was that?
Aye, exactly.
What the fuck did you just spray? Because
at the very least, he'd be looking up to the roof to see if there was a dent. Fucking head soaking.
Do you know what would be really funny? Because the technology wasn't there yet in 96, that was actually cum, and they were wearing black light glasses. So the way they could see, they're like, is that cum? I don't know why you'd... Oh, is that cum?
Taste it, yeah.
Suck his whole fingers in. All I'm saying is that's what they're doing.
Did you ever have an email address that... Because I've still, like, no. You know the email addresses you set up when you're young?
Was yours Marky Boy?
I still use it.
No.
Because I've got so much tied into it that I can't...
Yeah, you can't get out.
I can't not have it now. Like, it's my bank one. I can't, like... It's when I set my account up. It says Marky Boy 333. And it's not as bad... It's not as bad as it could have been.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's still pretty fucking pathetic. Like, I wouldn't... Like, if I stopped doing comedy, I couldn't be emailing job applications with that. Like.
I remember my first email was... I basically thought... You put in something that you like. I'm pretty sure I had Ryan Bergkamp 10 at Hotmail or something. Ryan Bergkamp 10 at Hotmail.com. It was probably aircom.net at aircom.net.
Yeah.
Fuck me. I had no idea.
The Dudley Boys 69 at Yahoo.
Trying to get a mortgage. What's the email address? It's tits over ass. 1916. We had a lot of 1916s in Ireland. It was just a lot of references.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, it was always 1916. You know. But do you know, I never knew Emilio Estevez was in this until I rewatched it. I never remembered him.
Yeah.
Being a fucking...
He's barely in it.
It's what a good move. Have a massive actor at the time and then fucking kill him, like, immediately.
They've got a couple of them.
Yeah.
Because...
that's a horrible
Kristen
death.
Kristen Scott Thomas gets killed.
That's right.
She gets killed very early on. She's part of the team and she gets killed very early on as well.
So, what am I... Right.
So, I mean, they...
I'm trying to figure out who died.
So, they'd be two big... three of the team die...
Yeah, so Emilio gets... bad death scene. That's a, you know...
It's an amazing death eye. Yeah. Spiked right through the eye. Yeah. Surely that doesn't... Why? What I was trying to work out was, see on those lifts...
Yeah, yeah.
Right, now, if you're on top of a lift and it's going up and, like, you're going to get crushed anyway, but surely there's safety things that means you wouldn't ever get crushed that much. But I couldn't work out, what are the purpose of those spikes that come down?
Yeah, they had it all figured out.
What are they doing? Like, fucking ridiculous. Like, there's literally no reason for those spikes to be there.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's shitloads of them. There's a whole row of them, so you can't escape them.
It couldn't be, like, some sort of, like, they were pre-planning it. But, I mean, like, also, he would get into the elevator shaft and be like, hey, guys, just so I let you know, the elevator shaft has been custom-made with spikes. So...
Exactly, yeah.
Breakfast club sandwich.
Aye. So, it's a very, very cool death scene.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And who died in the car bomb? Because when that happened, I was like, oh my God, it's the IRA.
She's called Hannah.
Yeah.
She's got very little to do.
Oh, that's
in
right.
The whole
she
thing.
Wasn't. She wasn't. Yeah, yeah.
She gets blown up the car. And Kirsten Scott Thomas gets stabbed by what you eventually find out was actually Jean Reno.
Yeah,
he stabs her.
good old John.
Beside a gate. Aye, he's fucking classing this. Do you reckon, right? See when he's lowering down Tom Cruise into the to get the list.
Yeah.
And then the rat comes along.
Yeah.
Right? And then he suddenly drops Tom Cruise because he's obviously dealing with a rat. What I always thought, right, and I still think this now, I reckon he bites the rat's throat out.
Oh, because you see it. You see
the rat like that. And now, he could break the rat's neck, but I don't think... First of all, I don't know if rats have necks. And I don't know how easy it would be to do that.
I think
he's the kind of guy. I think he's the kind of guy that'd grab it, bite its fucking throat out, and then just chuck it to the side and then get on with his job.
As he chucked it down the hole by accident. It's like that dead rat hits the back of it, Cruise's head on the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I can't, that's what I... But he's cool as fuck, isn't it? Ving Rhames is cool as fuck, isn't
he's always
well.
Cool. Ving is always cool as fuck.
Just a big hacker.
Yeah. I always think Simon Pegg was an unbelievable addition in the later films. It was perfect.
He is good. But he kind of does the same job as Ving Rhames, even though the two of them are in the later films.
Yeah.
Kind of does the same job.
Well, look, man, technology advances. You need two guys now, right?
Yeah. They don't show you how they make the masks either in this one. At least in the older ones, they've got the big mask-making machines.
Aye. If this was realistic, by the way, people would just be like, hey, oh, wait a minute, is that a Tom Cruise mask? No. So stupid.
Do you know, I think Mission Impossible has one of the coolest theme tunes of any TV show.
It does, yeah, it's great.
Ever. Do you know who does the version for this film?
No.
Because the second film has Limp Bizkit doing
Take a Look Around, didn't it?
They basically sample it for Take a Look Around. But the second one also has Metallica doing a song at the start of the film as well.
John Woo pulled out no stubs.
It's called A Disappear, in this first one, it's U2 that do a version of the Mission Impossible theme.
God, I suppose.
It might just be Bono and the Edge. I don't think the other two could be arsed.
They weren't needed.
But yeah, so
fucking YouTube.
And also, here's another thing about the Mission Impossible, all of the Mission Impossible films. In the credits at the start, when the theme tune's playing and everyone's like starring Tom Cruise, blah 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 blah, it show the clips. The very quickly cut clips show you the entire film.
I saw that too. I thought that was wild. Yeah. Sorry, that was class. But I didn't notice that. I was like, "What a ballsy move!"
I've not gone back and watched it. I'm fairly certain it won't give away the plot twist.
Yeah, they do it in Dead Reckoning as well.
But it. Yeah, every single one of them. Every single one of them. They will show because that's. But that's what the TV show did. Because the TV show was on well before I was born.
Yeah.
But I went back. When I first, I think it was after Fallout, I went back and watched some of the TV shows on YouTube, and their credits do that as well. The entire episode is shown in that. It's quite a cool thing
Imagine
to do,
if
actually.
You're in the cinema and that ran through, and then you just stand up and go, unbelievable! Unbelievable! Walk out.
Fucking belter, that.
Love movies that are under 90 minutes. Unbelievable.
I've got some questions.
Okay.
Right, I've got to see what you think about on this film. Yeah. But before I go to them, do you know where this, you know, the train chase at the end where they're climbing on the train and then Jean Reno is chasing them in a helicopter and then flies the helicopter in a tunnel?
Yeah, I believe that's. Pretty
cool.
Not only can a helicopter
possible.
Keep up with a high-speed train, but oh my God. Like.
I mean, it's some pilot that's keeping that steady in a tunnel. See, when they're on top of the train and it's whizzing past the countryside, do you know where that is?
Well, I'm going to feel like it's going to be Scotland or something now, but...
That is in Scotland.
Is it? Where?
Mm-hmm.
Where?
Dumfries.
That's Dumfries. There's no, that's a ScotRail train.
That's not Scott Ridge. That's why they're not allowed to drink on it.
Easily catch it. It'd be fucking stopped outside Croy.
It was fucking huge at the time in the town. Like, it was genuinely huge, wow. The fact that they were filming a Tom Cruise. Because nobody had any idea what film it was going to be. But there was word that an action scene was going to get filmed on that rail line.
Class. That's...
Because at that point, I was obsessed with films. And I was planning on doing film studies at uni. Mm. But this point, and I think I wrote to the production company to try and get work on
fair
it.
Ish.
And then I don't.
No.
And then I got.
Yeah.
I got a reply.
What is it? If your mission, you choose to. I
actually, I played Vig Rames' stunt double.
Hey guys, I brought a lot of shoe polish. Do I just like run that past you? You guys pay that, you know? I brought the receipts.
Do you want me to shave my head, or is it just?
That'd be...
When we're doing that scene where I get bummed over a barrel? Oh, is it a different film? All right, I'm sorry. I'm...
Oh man, I just got my arse bleached.
Bleached? If anything, I wouldn't be getting my arse bleached.
Oh, fucking hell.
The questions I've got. Right, on you go. Sorry.
No,
sorry,
I've got
go.
Loads of shit after, but let's go questions here. I want all
right.
Questions.
Right. Do you reckon, so Jim Phelps is John Voight,
yeah.
is the boss of the team, and he's the one that turns out to be the mole and has double-crossed everyone.
Yes, yeah.
Right? His wife, first of all, his wife, who's a French girl. How the fuck are they
yeah,
together?
Yeah, yeah. It's
because Voight's easily in his mid-70s. She's at best 25.
Yeah, it's so bad. Yeah, it's as ridiculous that Angelina Jolie's his daughter. You know.
Yeah.
It just you're like what?
Even.
Yeah.
Even when we were watching this, my daughter said, "I don't understand this." And I was like, I thought she meant the plot, right? I thought she was going to ask something about a knock list or what he was doing. And she went, what the hell is she, why is she married to this old man? And I was like, right, even when you're realizing this is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. It is like, oh my God, we've hired Gene Hackman. Who can we put as the thing? We're like, oh, fucking Sydney Sweeney. And
yeah, exactly. Aye. So I had to explain to her that women are money-grabbing whores. right. On a follow-up to that, do you think Cruise shags her?
There's a bit of...
Because
there's a bit of...
It's never... Because when she's sitting down and she kind of puts her hand out to him and he grabs her hand, and then... It cuts, but then later on the train when he's exposed, John Voight, he says, "Oh, she wasn't convinced her charms would work on you, but I was. So I was kind of going, have you offered up your wife here as part of this plan?
Ah, well, Jesus Christ, imagine that. That's how Euphilius managed to bag a 25-year-old wife when he was 70 and then offered her up. Man's a beast.
The main question I've got, right, about the whole Mission Impossible and all of the films, right? So you get on a certain point. Now in this they use tiny wee tapes, which I thought that was it's very dated, but I thought that was quite cool. The fact that you were on a plane and then there was an air steward walking down with a selection of small, not even videos, like small, like almost Betamax type cartridges.
Yeah, yeah.
And saying, would you like to watch a movie? And then, would you consider the cinema of the Ukraine? Like, but so, and later ones, video messages comes up, and one of them he goes and plays like an LP. And the mission comes up, right? And it's always a standard thing. They always explain the mission, and then they say, your mission, if you choose to accept it, what if you just say no?
Yeah, he doesn't want to work. Your mission,
what are they like, generally, what
choose,
are they going
to do? It closes, it doesn't listen.
Yeah. Nope.
Nope. I'm going to meet.
What? But then what? Like, Like, what happens? Do they sit in the other end and go, ooh.
Well, he knows too much now. We have to kill him.
That's kind of fucked up quite a lot, actually.
Susie's just done 10 years at air hostess school to get this job.
We've had the joiner boys building an entire factory here, and he just said, "No, whoa, this is." I'm not looking forward to telling the bosses about this one.
Can you imagine though? Like, if also, can you imagine if she, that air hostess, put it down and like he was ready for it, but it was just one of her actual recommendations? Like, you just said, it's Tokyo Drift. He goes back 2 minutes later. It's good, isn't it?
Would you consider the cinema of Jamaica? And he starts watching Cool Runnings.
There's always delivery.
It's just.
Oh, do you know as well? Do you know the way they always do, like, to let you know? You know, like, it's usually like a password or something. You know, like in this one, I think it said ask for a pack of Dunsil, you know, and ask the guy by a tree for the light. Do you reckon you could turn that really into, like, that's basically Impractical Jokers? You know, if you're, here, okay, Ethan, what you need to do is you go to the black cashier and fart in her face and say, here comes the stank train. He's like, what? I'm not doing that. It's how we'll know. It's how we'll know that it's you. Why does it have to be the black cashier?
Yeah. You've got to go up to see that elderly lollipop lady. Go and ask her if she can give you directions to Poontown.
It rings so violently sexual. I'm not comfortable with this at all. Yeah, that's so funny. See that disabled guy with the frisbee in the park? fucking hell. Just rest your testicle.
Go into the takeaway go into the takeaway and do the eyes. You don't want me to say anything, just do the eyes.
It's an Indian takeaway when it zooms out. He's just like, surely there's easier ways of doing this. That's so funny. drive through that BLM march, drive through it, honking your horn, saying "Make America White Again." But only toot your horn twice so that we know it's you. Jesus Christ!
Did you like the? I really enjoyed it.
Oh yeah, yeah, great. I mean, yeah, I love a Mission Impossible. I there's a lot of stuff that I completely like. Even though I laughed at, like, for example, there's a part where like the Bible falls on a thing, doesn't it? Or something falls, and it's like, oh, the Drake Hotel. Mm. And I was like, so this whole thing wouldn't have been possible by a freak occurrence. And I was
those damn Gideons.
Gideons, yeah, you get.
He says that's how he figures that. I think he's already kind of figured that out by then, but he kind of, that's like the last nail in the
and the Gideons sounds like a fucking doo-wop group. you know, John Michael and the Gideons, you know, Barry Truce.
I don't know if they still do that in hotel rooms. I've never actually
doo-wop.
Checked. Check this weekend. Yeah. Yeah, they still do that when you get in the lift, or the four guys standing there going, "A woom ba ba hoo ba."
She's going to that'd be class. I'd be in every year. Also, what a stupid place, by the way. Say if you're armed with explosives, they'd be like, you know, for a secret agent, I think the last place you would go is, hey, why don't we go to that fucking restaurant full of pure glass and water?
Oh yeah,
you know.
That's a fucking mental. That looks a class restaurant.
Yeah,
to be fair.
It does. Yeah, yeah. Is that one of them ones you get to fish that you eat?
I think it must be, yeah, because there's shitloads of lobster. I think there's lobsters in it and stuff as well. But also, when Ethan goes in there and he realizes that there'd been another team at the embassy, and then he starts noticing that all the other customers are in that restaurant. All the other customers are that other team as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you go, how's this restaurant staying in business here? Like, you can't take a hold. This is a busy night. You can't, and like this, have the CIA rented out this entire restaurant? So they're like,
that'd be so right. If you're there for a covert operation, all of them are at the door, the other team, they're like, we've no, it's a Saturday, no bookings. It's a Saturday night.
Yeah, I can't give you a table together. No, I can't. Yeah. I can't seat 12. It should have been booked weeks ago.
They had to get a big table of 12 right beside Tom Cruise all together. Like, it should have been spread out. This is a disaster. Yeah. Just drinks. We're not going to be here long. One guy ordered 4 minutes.
Just drinks.
Just drinks. Like, one guy ordered food. What are you doing, Michael?
I know you're hungry. For fuck's sake.
It's not on the IMF tab. Shut the fuck up. Fuck's sake, man.
Oh, God. I'm surprised this is the first Tom Cruise film we've
done. Yeah, God.
Really, really surprised.
Do you know what? We had that that thing where I said Top Gun Maverick was crap, or I didn't enjoy, because I don't like the first Top Gun. We'll get to that eventually, right? But then we watched it here again. I was like, stick that on again, because I remember telling you I was annoyed about the sound in the cinema. I think one of the speakers was out, because I heard the music at the start, right. And I was like, there's no bass in this song. You know, like, whatever they're playing, fucking Danger Zone.
When the plane takes off, Danger Zone.
I feel like this is wrong, and it completely fucked it. I watched it again. It's unbelievable. I don't know why. I must have absolutely loved it. I thought it was great this time.
Genuinely incredible. Love it. Just can't wait till we do it. Top Gun.
Do you know there's a part 2 when Ethan gets on the phone and the guy just goes, hi there, Ethan. And then he just goes, he like covers it and goes, it took me MI5. And I was like, Jesus Christ. I reckon Ethan might know you've done that. That was. Yeah, you know. Do you see? There's a couple of little plot holes. First of all, the plot hole I thought was when the helicopter stuff happened, do you know? Mm-hmm. You know, on the news they were like it was an accident, but they also showed that fucking dude fainting. What do you call him? Saw it. You remember?
Oh yeah. What, the train driver?
Yeah. You know, he sees it and thinks it's like, right. Well, how'd they get rat? Did they just shank him later in the day outside of GameStop?
Oh yeah, you get rid of it. There must be tons of those people that have been just got rid of. Because they've been in the wrong place at the wrong time while some spy shit's been going down.
Yeah.
There must be loads of... Or either that or they're given... They're either threatened.
Yeah.
And then they shut up. Or they're given a ridiculous amount of money to just disappear.
Do you think, imagine if you were just told, like, threatened to shut up. And you're just, like, telling your wife, like, I know you think I'm mental, but that was no accident at work today. There was a guy in there, helicopter. He was on the outside of the train. Yeah. The fucking exploded. John Russo was there.
Yeah.
John Reno. Russo.
Yeah. Have you been drinking at work again?
Yeah.
I fucking swear, right? Guy chased us in the tunnel in a helicopter, did he?
Yeah.
Fucking helicopter.
Looks like he just hit the wall there and died, according to the news. Yeah. Hey, do you know it'd be great, I'd love to do any Mission Impossible where everybody, you just have like, you keep taking masks off, you know, when they reveal and they're like, oh my god, it was you all along, and then he goes, actually no,
yeah,
it's your dad, and then it's a wee Russian doll situation going on.
I'd love it if a Mission Impossible where he took the mask off and it was Scooby-Doo.
Ah.
That's the last one.
One of the apostles was Scrappy Doo. Fucking stupid.
Right, if we get any more to say about Mission Impossible.
Closes
possible.
Out with the cranberries.
So it does. God, so it does.
Yeah, closes out with the cranberries.
Christ, I totally forgot about
there
that.
You go.
Well, there you go.
Couple of good films closing out with the cranberries. Couple of bad ones too, I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure, like, Total Recall remake closes out with it or something.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Bloody hell.
Yeah, I don't have much else. Good film, good laugh. Yeah.
Aye, that was belting. Yeah. Tom Cruise, fucking superstar of a man.
Yes, yes. I
forgive him for any of his crimes.
I love Tom Cruise.
His many
crimes. He always gets a bad rap, but he is definitely one of the best action heroes.
I think he gets a bad rap because he's involved in the Scientology stuff. But I don't know enough about... Still, it blows my fucking mind that there's a Scientology church on one of the bridges in Edinburgh.
Yeah, there's one on O'Connell Street as well in Dublin.
That blows my mind.
Sorry. I'd love to go in.
I've wanted to go in, but I don't know. Once you go in, is that you? That's you done? Like, you're trapped.
You think you're a Scientologist forever?
Well, but from what I know about it, there's not much it offers. So is it a case of people have just been curious, gone in, and now they're a Scientology person, and that's you fucked?
You do have to pay. There is money in it. You have to pay.
I imagine there's money.
I don't know. I stayed in a Scientologist's house once, and I was told not to. Did you? I was told not to talk in the castle because, like, he records everything. I was like, whoa, what's happening?
Jesus.
Like, what's happening?
Whoa. Who's the celebrity that's disappointed you most when they found out they're a Scientologist?
Do you know who I used to think was a good actor? And he's a massive Scientologist. He was like the chief recruiter and did all the videos. And now he's like not that good. But at the time he was kind of well revered, as they say, was Giovanni Ribisi. Do you remember him?
Oh, yeah.
He was in Friends. He was doing good films at the time, and he was real big. And then you found out that he was, like, chief fucking, like, the big dog. Like, he was the big recruiter.
I didn't know that he was.
Like, the real fucking... He's the one.
That's disappointing.
And then he kind of went off the deep end. Anyway, I don't think he's been in anything pretty good since the last 15 years. But at the time, I remember him.
That's a good one.
Good, yeah. Well,
mine was Jason Lee from My Name Is Earl.
yeah.
And all the early Kevin Smith films. When I found out he was a Scientologist, I was like, come on.
Is Kevin Smith?
No, not Kevin Smith. Jason Lee.
Okay, I thought...
Jason Lee. Him and Beck.
Oh, Beck. Oh, well,
you're the music artist, Beck. Aye.
Nah.
That was a bit...
Fuck's sake. The Beck kept turning up in Futurama. They really loved the Beck joke.
Do you want
to know, like, will we go on to next week's film? Because I got a link. You've just messaged Jason Lee, right? Who's co-starred with Ethan Supple.
Bruce Lee.
His father, Bruce Lee. he starred with...
Scent of a Dragon.
I've given this what I'd like to call... it's a bit of a tightrope we're going to have to walk on the next one. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's Jason Lee. He starred...
I don't know why I'm acting surprised. Yeah, I know exactly what it fucking is.
We have Ethan Supple.
I'm still...
From My Name Is Earl is also in this film. And you're going for American History the 10th. No, American History X. We're going American History X.
Oh, God.
Yep.
Oh, God. Yep.
It's a short film.
Such a surprise that you have picked this while we are in Australia.
Yeah, I thought you meant while you're a bald-looking skinhead.
No.
Yeah, racist.
Yeah, listen, it's a very, very good film, but yes, this is going to test our...
I think we all have plenty to laugh about.
Oh, we've got plenty to laugh about, but we will certainly have to watch... Mind our P's and Q's when it comes to this particular feature film.
Yeah.
Bye. That would be class. There's one scene in particular I'm thinking, fuck.
Well, we have a couple of... There's a couple of really bad scenes, you know.
Well, there's a couple of very, very bad scenes, yes. Right, cool. Give us a plug for all of the Edinburgh... Adelaide stuff you still got to go?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got just basically the best of the Edinburgh Fest, not best of British. You keep telling people the best of British. There is a fucking best of British show here. So you're also inadvertently full of that.
I'll continue to do that.
Fucking balls. Yeah, so I'll be just, when this comes out, this is going to come out basically, what, a couple of, I'm going to just download this now and try and get it going, because it'll be during the night. Yeah, it's nighttime with you, so it'll be up in the morning.
Yeah, so it'll be out. So, if Friday morning for UK yeah, chums.
And then we'll have American History X, and then we'll be back to basically normal.
Normal, well, normal. There's been a much more regular service once we're all back on an even keel. Yeah. Tonight, if you're listening to this on Friday the 9th and you're in Birmingham, tonight, not Friday the 9th, I keep fucking up these fucking dates. If you are in Birmingham and you're listening to this on Friday the 8th or on Saturday the 9th, tonight, Saturday the 9th of March, I will be at the Glee Club in Birmingham doing my tour show. Elliot Steele was supposed to be opening for me, but he no longer is because they wouldn't give him a hotel.
The town.
And we found out today that the reason they won't give him a hotel is because all the hotels have been taken up by Crufts. So there are dogs that have better living accommodation than Elliot does this weekend. Saturday, I'm at the Glee tonight, and tomorrow night, on Sunday the 10th of March, I am at Alexander's in Chester, which is absolute class. And then next week, I'll be Newcastle, London, Brighton, and Edinburgh. And then the week after that is the big one at the King's.
Oh, lovely.
So,
juicy.
Apart from that, bugger all.
Oh, actually, March 19th, I have a roast battle. I literally land in it. Land in it 3 o'clock that day from a long haul flight and go and do a roast battle. So I'll be on March the 19th. I'll do that. I'll have the full lineup out soon.
All good. Right. So thank you very much indeed for listening. Leave us reviews, all that kind of shit. Spread the news. And we shall see you next week where we try and wade through carefully. The swamp that is America History. Bye-bye. Bye.